To the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30. I need some water. Yeah, the camera's on. Yeah, I can't reach it. So you realize how many people are watching you right now? This is not like Sunday night, you know. But just want to introduce you to all the folks on YouTube that don't know you. Everybody here already knows you. And this is Jacob Doremus. He is his ministry has been called to the Fellowship for Christian Athletes. Represents the Lord and represents the church in the area schools. So he needs a lot of prayer. So there is a voice that's going on to the campuses, and our schools need Jesus Christ desperately. And so pray for this young man, and we appreciate him and appreciate what you're doing. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, brother. So the next time somebody gets a bottle of water, you're going to not take it, right? Yeah. Amen. We do appreciate those of you on YouTube, those listening on our website. We appreciate you joining in with us in our worship, and we appreciate you being here to worship the Lord, especially somebody that came in all the way from Oklahoma unannounced. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." I'm going to leapfrog on you over our fifth truth that we just started seeing last week. Be not ignorant concerning God's righteousness. And we're going to go back to the end of the fourth truth, which was be not ignorant of Satan's devices, and then finish the message of recovery from Satan's devices and using this incident in David's life. So we're seeing both truths, God's righteousness and Satan's devices, his traps, his snares. And I hope I'll be able to show that to you this morning. For those of you who were not here two Sundays ago, and for those of you who forget easily, those of you 68 and older, so let's do a quick recap. David has fled from King Saul, who is trying to kill him in order to prevent him from becoming king in his place. 600 men, along with their families, have joined him in the wilderness. And after several narrow escapes from Saul, David, in a time of unbelief and not trusting the Lord, they cross the border into Philistia and swear allegiance to a king and to a people that are enemies of God's people, Israel. King Achish gave them the city of Ziklag to reside in. And then when the Philistines headed north to Jezreel to do battle with Israel, Achish commanded David and his men to go with him to go against Israel. And so they leave Ziklag and the dreaded Amalekites to the south take advantage of that fact that the Philistine and the Israel armies have left that area unguarded, and they began a series of attacks and raids on those southern cities, Ziklag being one of them. The other Philistine kings refused to allow David and his men to go with them. They said that they cannot be trusted. David and his men will turn in battle against them, the Philistines, and so get back in good graces with King Saul. So David and his men were sent back home. It's about a day and a half journey there, day and a half journey back. And in chapter 30, verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And so we saw in verse 1 that the men return. This happened when the men were away. The enemy always takes advantage of that. So if the men have gone away in your life or in your family's life, please take advantage of the church to fill in that void. Men are desperately needed today to step in the gap between a world and a culture that despises those children and wants them to be destroyed. So they return back, but only to find that those wives, those children had been taken captives. Everything they had was stolen. And so verse 4 said they mourned. They cried until no more tears could come out. That's the ultimate test when God takes away a child. That's where Job was. That final blow to Job came when a messenger came with news that his children had been killed. A man especially has a heart for his children. Doesn't always show it outwardly, but sometimes when that happens, the emotions get out. And so these men wept and they mourned for the loss. Then in verse 6, David's men, his companions, his friends, turns on him. Since he's their leader, they blame him for what had taken place. When you're grieving, when you're hurting, you sometimes lash out at people because you're hurting. Just seems like sometimes you want other people to hurt as well. So they turn on David. So things go from bad to worse. And David does four things that we saw that resulted in him recovering all that he had. The end of verse 6 says, David encouraged himself. David had lost everything, and at the last, he loses even his friends, and they speak of stoning him. So a person either gives up in despair at this point, or they turn to the Lord. Thankfully, David turned to the Lord. He didn't encourage himself by patting himself on the back and saying, "Oh, you can do this." No, he couldn't have done that. By encouraging himself, it means that he acknowledged that what he had done in leaving Israel and not trusting the Lord, he had done wrong. And so repentance took place. Turn back to the Lord. Because it said he encouraged himself, the end of verse 3, in the Lord his God. He got back into God's presence. And verses 7 and 8, David called his preacher, and they had a prayer meeting. Thank the Lord that on Wednesday evening, our church family meets together and we pray together. Things look sometimes overwhelming when you're alone. Oh, but when you get with other people that love you, that pray for you, and then you get into a room of prayer, nothing like it. Nothing will ever take that place. Verse 8 said, David inquired at the Lord. And he asked him specifically, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered. It said, pursue. He said, pursue. And the Lord said, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So God said, David, if you follow my words in faith, you will find them, and you will recover all. And David immediately obeyed what he said to do. He applied God's word to his particular situation. He's back in the Lord's wavelength now. So he's operating in grace. He's operating in obedience to God's word. He's operating in faith. Verse 9, so David went. God said to go, David went immediately. They traveled for 3 days from Ziklag to Aphek, and then they turned back to Ziklag. So they're 3 days marching. And then they immediately leave Ziklag and head out in search of who did this. And verse 9 said that the 600 men that were with him went with David as well. Now, that's encouraging to me. That here, these men, these friends of David that was about to stone him, when they saw that he got right with God and started doing as a leader what God put him there to do, they said, I believe we'll follow David too. So they head out. They haven't gone too far where they come to this brook Besor in verse 9 where those that were left behind stayed. David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. David didn't turn on those 200 and say, you wimps, this is no time to give up and quit. He unloaded the supplies that they were have been carrying for over 3 days. And he left them with the 200 to guard them. Then they encounter the Egyptian slave who the Amalekites had left behind sick and just basically left him to die. And David, when he encountered this Egyptian, when they brought him to David, David didn't say, we'll come back for you. We're on a mission right now, we can't turn aside. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Lord bless you, we'll pray for you. No, he interrupted the pursuit, and he ministered to this young man in grace. I believe that would be exactly what the Lord would have done. This Egyptian happened to be the very one who was with the Amalekite band that burned Siklag. Just by chance and happenstance. No. That was directed from God. David is right with God. David is following the leading of the Holy Spirit now. And so God puts this young man in David's path. Then in verse 16, he leads them to where their camp is. And in verse 16, when he had brought him down, behold, they, the Amalekites, were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. They see them having a party with their stuff. It said, verse 17, that David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. There escaped not a man of them except 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. The same number escaped that David had, 400 men to go up against this huge Amalekite army. I see David and his men waiting till twilight, until the party winds down and they begin to pass out, go to sleep. So I see them slipping up and very quietly dispatching one by one the Amalekites into the nether regions. Then as the sun comes up, they've already whittled down the numbers considerably. And so now the fighting begins. But they're fighting against drunks with hangovers, sick at their stomach, heads as big as watermelons. Great fun. Great fun.
Yes, sir.
What happens is you slowly poison yourself until your liver gives out, and the liver cannot or no longer can filter the poison out of your system, so it enters into your blood system and you die. Sirree, great way to live. And your family doesn't even have to embalm you because you're already pickled. And they have to wait a long time to cremate you because you'd blow the incinerator up. Yeah, great, great fun. Great fun these Amalekites are having. The Lord didn't create life to be lived that way. To destroy yourself. So, in other words, it's not much of a fight. You see, the devil is an expert at smoke and mirrors. He makes you think that him and his demonic army are invincible. Against me, against you, yeah, probably, but not against the Lord. Not much of a fight when you stop running and turn around and begin to recover what the devil's taken from you. You'll find out it's not much of a fight because you're fighting in the strength of the Lord. So verse 18 says, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. But the message today is in verse 20. David recovered more than all. Folks, I got to tell you, I thank the Holy Spirit for recording the life of David in reality and in truth. Most biographers don't do that. Unless they're getting money for revealing a scandal, most biographers will give you the good side of who they're writing about, especially an autobiography. Oh my goodness, it borders on fiction. But not the Holy Spirit reveals everything. And I'm thankful that He does. Because these people in the Bible are human beings just like us. If He didn't record the sins and the failures, we would be in despair at looking at our life in comparison. A saint on earth is not a sinless being. And then on the other side, sin does not have complete dominion over us. We have both the flesh and the spirit, the old nature and the new natures, both operating at the same time. There's this back and forth dual experience that we go through with as Christians. But I'd caution us not to take these examples of the flesh and sin as an excuse to our own faults and sins. Instead, we should be humbled by the realization that the same evil sin nature indwells us and produces the same ugly results as David did and others in the Bible. The same tendency to unbelief and lack of dependence upon the Lord and fellowship with Him as David displayed in running to the Philistines dwells in us. The first thing the flesh wants to do when a trial comes is to get out from under the trial, to run before the Lord has time to do what He intended with the trial. You see, that's the purpose of our discipleship. That's the purpose of trials and difficulties. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through the church, is training us in knowledge and in experience of that knowledge to daily decrease that fleshly old nature and increase the spiritual new nature. That's the work of conformity to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is doing, and it's also called sanctification. It's also called a work of righteousness. This righteousness of Jesus Christ that we received at salvation, it grows and works itself out of us in our actions and in our daily living. So verse 20 says, David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. The Amalekites had taken spoil from cities in Philistine and in Judah, not just Ziklag. So there was a spoil over and above what they had recovered of their own property and stuff. You see, the Lord is able to not only preserve your stuff and get it back, what you lost by sin and disobedience, but He can give you even more back than you lost. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the working of the power that works in us. God is able to get back what the enemy has stolen from us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Romans 8:37 says, In all of these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and the sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Colossians 2:15 says that the devil and his powers and principalities have already been defeated. He triumphed over them in his cross. The devil has no right to our stuff, our peace, our spiritual growth and contentment, our joy, our access to God through prayer, our fellowship with the Lord. And to each other, our worship, our church, our Bible reading, our ministries, our marriages, our children, the bond of unity in Christ that exists in our church, the effectiveness of our salvation. He has no right to that. But we're allowing Him to sneak into our lives and steal them because we don't guard them and keep them as a steward of something that we have that belongs to the Lord, or we don't go after them when they're gone. Yeah, you messed up. Yeah, you lost some things as a result of it. But don't lay down and give up and keep whining, if only, if only, if only. Get out of the trap. Satan's traps are three-sided. Back out. Another word for that is repentance. What David did. Get back into his presence. Get back into church regularly and consistently. Resume prayer. Resume your daily Bible reading. And then do what he says. You'll not only recover what you lost, you'll not only recover all, but you'll recover more than all by getting something better and above what you even had. Do you see Jesus Christ in David? I'm not preaching David, I'm preaching Jesus Christ. Ever heard him referred to as the Son of David? That's because there's an association there. There's a commonality of characteristics between David and Jesus, when David follows his spiritual nature. Do you know what the Bible refers to us as? 1 John 3 verse 1 says, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. There's a commonality of characteristics that we have with the Lord now that we belong to Him. Do you know why? Because Jesus recovered all. Everything Adam lost in the garden, Jesus recovered. And He just didn't recover all. He recovered more than all. Colossians 2:15 that we just saw says that He just didn't defeat the enemy, He spoiled them. He recovered for us more than we lost in Adam. Adam was innocent, not righteous. He was never filled with the Spirit. He was never born again. He never possessed the complete revelation of God written down like we do. He only had 5 chapters. We have all 66 books. Folks, do you realize we're more than just simply forgiven and not guilty? Our salvation has given us much more than that. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at one scripture and we'll be done. Revelation chapter 1. I want you to see this one and look at it. Revelation chapter 1. This is the risen and ascended Jesus Christ. The position that he is in right now. That's Revelation chapter 1. And it gives his description as John saw him. But down in verse 18, the Lord identifies himself in a very unusual manner. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now look what he adds. And have the keys of hell and of death. You see that? You see the keys? For 3 days and 3 nights, there was a party going on in hell. They were singing and drinking and dancing. Oh, they had a time. But then that Sunday morning, the devil woke up. He says, wait a minute. The tomb is empty. We didn't win. And then he says, has anybody seen my keys? I've lost my keys. It's because Jesus took them on his way escorting the Old Testament saints into heaven. So he don't have the keys of death anymore. For death now, the Lord just turns the key and we just pass right on through it directly into his presence. Because he rose from the dead, we all that are in Christ will rise from the dead one day. That's our hope. Hallelujah. We recovered in Christ more than we lost. We recovered more than all. Father, we thank you this morning for what you've done. Lord, thank you for what we have received from you, none of which we deserved, none of which we earned. And Lord, you've given us not just eternal life, Lord, not just your righteousness, but Lord, you've given us yourself. And you said that you've left for just a short time in order to prepare a place for us for all of eternity. And then where you are, we will be. Lord, may we see our lives in a different perspective this morning. May we stop focusing on ourselves, on our problems, on our difficulties, and focus on you. May we realize what we have in you, the joy, the peace, the contentment, forgiveness, righteousness, holiness, fellowship with you, access to prayer 24/7, a Bible that we can pick up and read anytime. We can study and then take that knowledge of what your word says and means and apply it to any and every situation that comes up in our life, so that we can not just and go through it and endure it, but we can go through with your strength and with your presence victoriously on the other side. A little bit more like you for having done so. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace, your love to us. This morning, I pray we've returned a portion of it back to you. I pray this week we will return, by the way that we live, a portion of it back to you, by loving you and by loving our neighbor, by ministering the gospel to the lost, praying and encouraging for the saved. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the work that you are doing, that you get the glory, that you get all the honor for. I pray it would continue. I pray for our marriages, our homes. I pray for our children, that you would hedge them about, watch over them as they grow and mature in you. Lord, I pray for my dear friends that are lost. Lord, don't let them go to hell. Lord, don't let them choose themselves and an eternity separated from you. But Lord, may they choose. Follow after you and your truth. Open their eyes to the deception, to the delusion that they're under. May they see you clearly. Lord, may they see you in us. May we, under a burden, pray for them to know you as Lord and Savior. Everything we say, everything we do would be toward that end. Help us to be, Lord, who you saved us to be. Lord, those that have failed, those that have sinned, Lord, they're not alone. Lord, you have made provision for that in your covenant. And that's your shed blood that keeps forgiving us day after day. Lord, may we forget those things which are behind, press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling to be like you. Help us to grow. Help us to mature. Help us to not just recover all, but help us to recover more than all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord